In a series of surveys we Googled to make sure we were credible, we found that 95% of people think they possess an appropriate amount of perspective and self-awareness, but only 10 to 15% truly do. Other than the fact that that math doesn't make any sense at all, that's a startling statistic. We have a massive disconnect here, people. No wonder our world is so polarized. We're just wired to operate on autopilot, unaware of how we're behaving and why. And combine that with how much more self-absorbed we are since social media has exploded in popularity, and we got dynamite. We think all this has really messed with our ability to connect and relate with one another. The bad news is, 95% of us are screwed, so give up now. The good news is, 10% of us can be saved. Hey everyone, welcome to Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values.
But really, it's a show where we hope to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make them more interesting and well-versed humans, and just dangerous enough to hold their own in this sophisticated world. Well, sort of.
I'm your host, Peter, here with my co-host, producer, director, engineer, artist, extraordinaire, Amanda. And today, we'll be introducing our why behind the show. Our reason for being, so to speak. Our value prop. So sit back, relax, and listen to two mostly uninformed individuals try to explain to our one listener why we think this whole thing is a worthwhile proposition in the first place. Oh, and our word of the day is molting. So our challenge is to work this word into the podcast somewhere and seem like we meant to.
Yeah, good luck with that. But molting, like us shedding our skin or feathers? Let's see how this one goes.
Leave me alone, Amanda. I found this website called randomword.com the other day, and I thought it would be a good idea to have this word of the day to make it a little more fun. And so what I do is I just log in and click on it, and if I can pronounce the word, then we use that word. If I can't pronounce the word, then I flick to something else until I find one. And molting was like the third one to come up, and I actually knew what it was. So that's what we're going with.
All right. I mean, I guess that's random enough for this podcast.
So true story, Amanda, on how this podcast got its legs. You know, my wife passed away last year, and that wasn't bad enough. It took me about 15 seconds to realize I just inherited the title of dance mom. You know, I have a 17-year-old daughter who dances, and whether I liked it or not, it was my time to support the cause. So I jumped on the dance mom group chat and never looked back. Before I knew it, I was up to my eyeballs in jazz shoes and blinging costumes and wearing spirit gear.
Not gonna lie, Peter, you probably wear it better than me.
I don't wear it. I just buy it. I'm on the song camp committee. I sit in front and center down on the floor during all the team dances and cheer like a maniac. All the other fathers are nowhere to be found. And if they are, they're generally like in the back seat somewhere, feigning interest. My conversations now consist of dance schedules, party planning, competition gossip, recipes, Facebook friends, and new fashion trends.
Is that where you got your new sunflower shoes?
I don't talk about my sunflower shoes on this podcast, please. And so like, while this is not ideal, I've figured out it sort of forced me into making a choice, right? I had to shrink from this strange new world and hide out somewhere glorious or take this as an opportunity to learn and grow. And I took the high road because that's how I roll and decided to be more curious and open-minded and maybe learn a little bit about these other dance mom stories while I tried like hell to suspend judgment and challenge my own views and lenses with which I choose to see the world.
Proud of you, Pete. But can I call you Mama June now?
You can call me whatever you want, but I'm only answering to Bubba. So that's my story. And that's when I realized how very little perspective I have and how much I wanted to just be a better and more interesting person. And the idea for this podcast was born.
Well, Pete, perspective is very hard because everyone is so different and really our perspective is based on life experiences, etc. So what exactly is our definition of perspective going to be?
I have no idea what perspective is. Let me chat BGPT that shot right now. Hold on a second. Clicky, 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 clicky. Chat GPT. Perspective is defined as the way individuals perceive and interpret the world around them. It's influenced by personal experience, cultural background, education, and individual differences. It shapes how people interpret information, make decisions, and interact with others.
That's great and all, but I really think humans may have said it better.
I don't really like ChatGPT sometimes, really. I'm not sure any human really did say it better. But I'm a huge fan of Atticus Finch. If you have, if there's any To Kill a Mockingbird listeners out there, I don't know. Was he really? Does he count as human? Is he a character? He's a human. All right. For the sake of this podcast, Atticus Finch is a human, and I totally wish he was my dad. He said it perfectly when he said, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it for a little while." The key is you got to care to do it, or it's meaningless. It's like really hard work. It forces you out of your comfort zone and makes room for new growth. It's like molting.
You nailed it. High five, brah.
Totally did that. That was way easier than I thought it was going to be. Yes.
All right, Pete. So then, why is it so important and why should people care?
The fact that you're asking is a problem to begin with. It means that you have no perspective and we might as well just cancel this episode. Oh, for that matter, neither do I. I really don't know why it's important. I guess I'd like to think that perspective and I guess along with self-awareness are tools to make us better, and I just want to be better. But if you don't want to be better, I suppose you can stop listening.
I mean, let's be real. They probably already did.
I know, right? I'm not sure who's really listening. But I think it's also important because it helps with being more intentional and less self-centered. And I've been working on that a lot since my wife passed. It's sort of strange how different things become more important to you based on your own personal circumstances. And so far, it seems to be working. Between practicing perspective and the heavy drinking I've been doing, I've noticed a greater sense of personal control and peace through this process.
Whoa there, Confucius. Way to pull out the Zen. Are you meditating too?
I try to meditate, but I have ADD, so it makes it really hard. Dude, this is hard stuff to focus on. So, whatever. When we gain perspective, our lens moves from inward focused to outward focused, and we can better understand how people view us. And if we can do that, then we'll be more empathetic and tolerant towards other people, enjoying healthier and happier relationships. At least that's what we're supposed to do. And when our self-perception matches what other people's perception is of us, then we're more likely to be awesome people, giving way to, I'd argue, a way more fulfilling existence.
You know, Mama June.
It's Baba.
Sure. Mama June. I've always believed that we, as humans, were made for community. And it really does make life more enjoyable when you know there are people you can relate to and people you can depend on. Though gaining perspective and being cultured is valuable, it's also essential, really, to approach it with humility and respect and avoiding judgment. And the goal is to appreciate and learn from diverse cultures, contributing to a more harmonious and interconnected global community. But that's also coming from somebody who has many cultures within my family unit.
Well, I think that's like the whole big point of this whole podcast to begin with, is you kind of just nailed the whole thing, right? Like, we build off of this care and concern for other people. We want to be more global. We want to care about all this kind of stuff. So I think in future episodes, like, let's kind of try to figure out how to keep the same stream of consciousness rolling through each one of them, right? Because I think if people care to become more cultured and curious, I think we'll ultimately be more interesting people. And to your point, we'll have like way more friends. And who doesn't want more friends?
It's true. Well, yeah. Some people can become more open-minded, communicate more intentionally, and understanding different communication styles and etiquettes.
They can enjoy crap like literature, music, art, theater, which I am told adds depth and meaning to life.
Well, I'll let you know in our next podcast recording after I go to New York and see 4 shows in 3 days.
Let's
on
go!
Broadway.
That's what I'm talking about. But what else could people do?
I mean, I feel like once you are a little bit more cultured, then maybe you can be more informed on the decisions that you're making and analyzing situations from multiple viewpoints rather than just our own.
Absolutely. I think as far as career advancement, it increases your ability to work on teams, understand your boss's perspective, intergenerational crap like that. I think it's about cultural heritage. We can support initiatives that aim to protect and celebrate all aspects of different cultures, right? Because that's dying everywhere around us.
But once we kind of gain that perspective, then we're able to relate to more people with various backgrounds and cultural identities and demonstrate the adaptability and probably feel more comfortable navigating unfamiliar settings and conversations.
Absolutely. I think ultimately it comes down to just intellectual growth and just a more sort of well-informed worldview, right?
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. But I guess the big question is, how can we gain or work on gaining perspective? Because it kind of seems like you either got it or you don't.
Yeah, so I thanks for the prompt, because I had to look all that crap up because I really don't know how to gain perspective. But I do have a story that I want to share about my lovely wife. It was like, I don't know, like 5 years ago. She's a physician assistant. And maybe 2018, 2019, it was about, she was learning about gender etiquette, right? Because she had students that were coming in and she was teaching a master's program. And she had to take a class on gender etiquette and like learn all about the different types and variations. And I remember when she was doing it, I was, you know, the sort of stuck in my sort of Gen X, like, what does this all matter? Like, there's boys and there's girls. And before I get canceled, the show hasn't even started yet. Relax, this story ends good. So I remember she just looked at me and after the class was over and she's like, dude, you have a choice to make, right? We've always talked about not growing old and like being the crotchety old people, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, so this is kind of that. I'm like, no, this is totally not that. What are you talking about? Crotchety old people are just like when you have to tell the same story over and over again and blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, like this is society's changing and we have to make a choice to choose to keep up or we sort of slip off into oblivion. And it super dawned on me at that moment, like, holy crap, whether I agree or disagree or whatever, none of that mattered anymore. All that really mattered was, do I sort of want to continue to contribute? And do I care enough about participating in the world? And so I ended up taking the same damn class that she took and learned all about it. And I'm a better person for it. So shout out to Gabby. It was awesome.
So Pete, that was a cute story. And I'm really glad that Gabby got you to go outside of your comfort zone and your shell. How about we just say I'm glad that she got you to molt a little bit.
Yes, extra.
But is there maybe like, you know, like AA, is there like a 7-step process in regards to gaining perspective?
I made a 3-step process.
Oh, all right.
Googled some stuff. I went to Encyclopedia Britannica.
Does that still exist?
Yeah. And then I looked at some papyrus. And I was able to come up with a little process for listeners to follow.
This story would only be better if you actually like pounded your own papyrus.
Right. Can we not talk about pounding papyrus? That's not part of this episode. All right. So yeah, kind of maybe 3 steps. I don't know. It's sort of step one, right? You gotta do some learning about yourself, right? We gotta ask some tough questions and start to own our own emotions. And we gotta be objective about it, people. It's not easy. So sort of start by asking yourself, what emotions do you experience repeatedly each day? Right? How often are you listening to your body? What are your triggers? What causes some of your negative emotions every day? Examples, right? Mine for sure, are jealousy and resentment, which is tough to say out loud, but I've learned enough about myself because I started down this journey. Rich people, man, rich people totally trigger me, right? What are yours?
Definitely, it's when people think they know more than me. But I think that I know more than them.
That's a tough one, for sure, right? One thing I did, I learned from a Vistage coach years back, draw a timeline of your life, right? Start with your birth, mark major events, right? So, you know, maybe when I moved out, maybe when I got married, first kid, death of a parent, death of a spouse, first job, first promotion, these types of things. Because those are typically times in your life when you experience really, really strong emotion one way or the other. And that's going to tell you a lot about who you are and what tools are sort of already inherently in your toolbox, so to speak.
I'm not going to lie, I don't think I've ever thought about a timeline of my life. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. It doesn't take long. I can show you how to put it all together. I think it's everybody should do it, right? Exposes a lot about you. So we're sort of still all in step one, but you know, learning your emotions, learning your triggers, listening to your body, right? Being objective. Then sort of figuring out your coping mechanism, right? What protects you from hurt? Mine, humor. All the time, no matter what, my wife's funeral, I was cracking jokes. I had to get through it. It's my go-to every time. It's my strongest bicep muscle.
Which is so interesting because mine's probably on the other end of the scale where I just get really quiet and introverted.
This is why we're co-hosts. This is why this is going to work.
Because we're opposites.
Yes. Opposites attract. Yeah. And so the point of understanding your primary coping mechanism is because when you start using it over and over, something's going on. So when I go hard into humor, that's the time when I need to stop and look at what's happening around me and figure out what's causing the actual problem behind it. So some heavy lifting you guys got to do. And then ultimately, you need to define your own beliefs without being influenced by society. So, you know, things that are meaningful, not like a house and a car and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about like core values, right? Like, what are you called to do? And that's tough stuff because we're busy. And we don't often sit around sort of smoking a doobie and thinking about this kind of stuff. And if you have, you're way ahead of me for sure. You know, I'd argue mine are dependability. I've spent some time thinking about this. Gratitude and intentionality, right? And a fulfilling life for me would be a life filled with lightheartedness and laughter.
So in order for somebody to be able to have a fulfilling life, for step one, what I'm hearing is that we need to kind of self-evaluate on what our emotions are, and then from there, what our primary coping mechanism is, and then we need to define our belief system when not be influenced by outside worldly influences, and then from there, determine what our core values are and what we believe is going to give us a fulfilling life.
Yes, that's a lot of stuff, but that's the baseline to then be able to start to recognize that other people are totally different from you. So if you put those things together first, so you know where you're coming from, you're going to be way more prepared to start to manage perspective and self-awareness where other people are coming from.
And also to be more understanding probably of other people because they are.
Amen, sister. Amen, Mama. What, Juniper? What was it?
Mama June. But that's you.
Oh,
you're the dance mom.
Oh, my bad. All right. Okay, then. Thank you. All right. So then step two, right? You gotta get some help. Not like help, but like a little bit of help. First, you gotta sort of ask, change your ask, right? Instead of why, start asking what, right? Why do I hate my job, right? It's a question everybody asks. No. What about my job do I hate? Why sucks you back in to your mental gesticulations of self-talk, right? That's the inward that we were talking about earlier. What is more likely to help identify your personality traits or patterns of behavior, right? So you start to look outward and start to figure out a little bit more about yourself.
I mean, I really think gesticulations should have been the word of the day.
That's a good word. I wanted to throw that in. I like saying it.
But that was, yes.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, we're trying to be smart. It's a podcast. All right, then you got to ask for feedback, right? Like one of the fastest way to figure out perspective and grow and improve is blind spots and figuring all that stuff out. So choose a solid relationship, a wife, a husband, spouse, best friend, right? Mom or dad, someone who's willing to be honest but super constructive, and start really small because you need to demonstrate you can handle the criticism, right? Super hard stuff to do, so. Baby steps, but you need outside help. And then ultimately, ask friends to start calling you out when you're doing a behavior you already know you want to change, right? For instance, with me, I'm a story topper. Like, you tell a story and I want to come over the top of it and I want to beat you. It's going to be funnier. It's going to be better, whatever it is. And so I've always asked my wife to sort of, she knows as soon as I start in and somebody's told a story and I open my mouth, she gives me a look, she touches me on the shoulder, and I either can step back and recognize it's time for me to chill, or my story's fantastic and it has to be told anyway. So she's been wonderful with that.
So step one, identifying our emotions and then figuring out kind of our why. But in step two, we are now getting a little bit deeper into recognizing the things that we don't necessarily like about ourselves. And working and improving on being more self-aware and better people.
Yeah, because you can know it all internally, but unless you start to practice it, then it's not worth anything. And you need people around you to help practice it, right? That's the whole point. You need to recognize it when it's happening, not afterwards, right? Step one is recognizing it. Step two is when it's happening.
Which brings us to step three.
Totally. There has to be step three. So after you figured all that out, which I'm assuming you guys are taking copious notes and have already done all this hard work, now you got to take intentional action. So this is no BS, man. This is you have to do all the time stuff. This is you have to want to be this new person. Like, incorporate this stuff into your life. Not, I try to exercise 3 days a week, but I am an exerciser, right? This is
putting it into practice.
Absolutely. So one, meditate, right? Great way to learn about how your thoughts and emotions work. Meditate every morning, every evening, figure it out. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Meditate. Phones down, television's off, laying, standing, sitting. I don't care. Meditate.
Stop overthinking.
Oh my God. Number one. Two, micro travel, right? Everyone, oh, I got to go travel around the world to figure all this stuff out. Yes, you probably do in order to get more cultured, really. Let's be honest. You do, but not everybody has the bankroll. So micro travel, right? Right in your own neighborhood, right? Figure out the different neighborhoods inside your city or in your community, in your county, local state parks, restaurants, different restaurants, museums. Just start to appreciate different alternatives and lifestyles. Don't go to the same place twice. There's so many things to see just in your local community. Just make it a point over the course of the next year to just not go to the same place twice.
A restaurant or somewhere twice until you've stretched yourself enough in different alternative lifestyles, ideas, and cultures.
You're going to meet people. You're going to meet owners of businesses. You're going to learn. Yeah, you're going to learn people's stories for sure.
I'm an extrovert, so I would love this. But for my husband, who's an introvert, is there something else? Instead of making him go out, you know, every night to try something new.
No, you're going to have to drag him out.
I'll tell him Peter said that.
Reading. Read. High quality fiction, right? I mean, you can read nonfiction. Don't get me wrong. I love nonfiction.
And for those listening, nonfiction is not real. It's a double. Yeah. double
negative. Nonfiction is real.
Yes.
Read high quality fiction, people, because great writers are experts in human behavior, right? And so character development is huge. Back to my Atticus Finch, To Kill a Mockingbird. I loved him. I loved everything about that book. That's all because of Harper Lee's ability to create the character.
I really should have paid more attention in high school.
There's spark notes now. It's amazing. Yeah. So your introverted husband, high quality fiction, absolutely could learn about other people and then could learn more about himself. Also, learn a new skill. It forces us to think and act in novel ways. Just recently, I got off my butt and did my first stand-up comedy performance, and I was scared shitless. And I wouldn't even say I was good at it, but I went out and I learned a new skill. I took a 6-week course and I did it. So whether it's cooking, whether it's journaling, I really don't care what it is, start learning a new skill.
Peter is very modest. I will say, seeing him in the glory of his new skill and trying something new, the life and energy that it gave you was pretty remarkable. So good job.
Yes. Also, another new skill that I'm developing is podcasting. Volunteering, right? Can't do enough volunteering in your community, whether it's, you know, picking up trash on the shore or whether it's helping in a homeless shelter or, you know, bringing meals to shut-ins, whatever it is. I think volunteering is super important to start to understand and get to know other folks and other perspectives. And then the tougher one for folks is having intentional conversations with people who are wildly different than you.
Being outside your box.
Absolutely. I think work's a great example, right? Because you got your Gen Xers now. You got a few boomers left, don't get me wrong. Gen Xers, millennials, and they all sort of stay in their own cohorts, right? But sort of working out of your box to go actually have that conversation with the 70-year-old dude who's still banging away, right? Or spending time with the 22-year-old who's literally fresh out of college and trying to understand. I think those are incredible ways to start to gain perspective. So these sort of, well, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 6 ideas that are here to help.
And I think with intentional conversations, especially in the workplace, I know that sometimes it's really awkward. It's like, what am I going to talk to these people about? But I think with this podcast, it might give some listeners, you know, something to bring up and be able to be relatable to other people of different generational gaps.
Well, that's the value prop. That's the why behind our show, is trying to figure out how to help you guys engage in more conversations and care about and care about it while you're doing it.
So I have a question. People who are having these intentional conversations, realistically in real life, probably don't even know that they are lacking self-awareness or that they're lacking perspective. And so are there any kind of watch out things that maybe we can like punch list to get people to think, oh, I don't have self-awareness?
There probably are, but I'm not that prepared. So instead, I have a classic story about
story
myself.
Topper.
Totally. I'm story topping right now. A classic story about myself on how I figured out I didn't have any self-awareness or perspective. All right. So my wife was sick for like 3 years, right, before she passed away. And so a lot of my time was taken up like in a hurry. I was running errands. I was getting her to the hospital, visiting her in the hospital, getting her to doctor's appointments, just getting home to help with anything, cooking, cleaning. Like, so I was always moving. And so my driving was efficient, we would say. Very efficient.
Angry?
Some people may choose that word. I'm going to go with I was incredibly efficient and got everywhere I needed to be on time all the time at any expense. But one of my numerous chores that I was, not I don't want to say helping with. I mean, like, I'm her husband. Right. One of my normal responsibilities was I had to walk this dog. We have a German short-haired pointer and she's insane. And so she needs to walk like 100 miles a day. And so I would run her. And when you're running 4 or 5 miles and you're running through intersections and out on city streets, drivers in general aren't the most careful people. And my legs are really tired. And I've participated in my fair share of middle fingers and why don't you look where you're going, if you know what I mean. So one day last year, it like hit me, like literally, like not hard or anything, but I sort of did it on purpose to make my point. I was close enough to this car where I was able to slap my hand on the hood of it as it was coming to a stop like way too fast. And I was pissed. And I'm standing there with my dog and I started yelling at the lady and she rolled down her window to apologize. And I saw her like elderly father in the passenger seat. And she totally apologized. She said she was scatterbrained and didn't see me because she was trying to get her dad to the emergency room. On my way home, it started to dawn on me. I'm a selfish shit. It's about what's convenient for me, always. When I'm in a hurry, trying to get to the hospital, get out of my way. When I'm running my dog, get out of my way. It's always get out of my way. So now I'm trying a lot harder not to be an asshole. It's a work in progress, but that's when the whole idea of like perspective started to dawn on me.
So how are other ways that people can maybe see that their asshole tendencies are affecting their relationships or how they're interacting with the world besides almost getting hit by a car? Because that seems like an extreme.
Yeah, it is. I'm a story topper. I'm an extremist. I'm a story topper. There's a lot going on here. All right. I think one is you think you earned all your success and like luck has nothing to do with it, right? You just work your ass off. It's always you. It's commitment. It's discipline. And all that's just ego protection.
I mean, part of that also within circumstances is kind of the opposite end of it, which is like you're a victim. Like if I missed a meeting or I was late, you blame traffic or you got a bad grade on a test. Well, that teacher totally never covered that info in class. It's always someone else's fault rather than yours.
Amen. Another one is there's drama always surrounding you. Sort of think of your life and what's going on. Like pointless little arguments, gossip, awkwardness, like all that kind of immature stuff, right? Is that swirling around you? That's a sign.
If we're going to keep talking about some immature stuff, it's maybe when you can't say, I don't know, and you always have to have an answer.
I hate those people. How about you go out of your way to prove you're right, always?
Doesn't that just mean you're like a total control freak?
I know, it does. Another one is a lot of what you say is negative, right? It's criticizing. You're either putting someone down or putting a situation down. Nothing's ever good enough.
I mean, I think that kind of maybe rolls into how maybe you can never change your mind. Like, I don't know, maybe ask 3 of your friends for like their honest opinion if maybe they think you're open-minded. Because if it's not a clear yes, then I think you're just one of those stubborn SOBs.
You are, but you got to make sure those are safe friends again, right? Because you're going to...
True.
This is all about ego and it's all super scary stuff. So yeah, I think earning your success, victim of circumstance, drama, can't say I don't know, got to be right, control freak, you're negative and you can't change your mind. I mean, those are some telltale signs for sure that it's you gotta jump on the.
So even though we talk about some gotcha points, or you know, if you do this, maybe you should then think about gaining new perspective or having some more self-awareness. But let's say people can't even tell that about themselves because they just think they are God's gift to this world. I would bet that there's some sort of free test or some sort of resource online that would give a good baseline. And knowing you, I would probably put money on it that you have already researched this.
How much money?
$1 million.
I'd start with a personality test. That's probably the best way to go. They're free. They're online. They're awesome. It sort of gives you a sense of, it's not really a perspective or self-awareness test, but it gives you a sense of sort of, goes back to sort of your biggest bicep muscle, right? What you're good at, what your strengths are, and what your weaknesses are. Type Finder personality test. It's like 20 minutes. It's kind of reveals your dominant personality type. If you have ADD like me and you can't sit still for that long, there's the Nearest Type Explorer test. It's shorter. That one's about 10 minutes long. It's an offshoot of the same like Myers-Briggs 16 unique personality test. You'll fall into one of four categories. If 10 minutes is too long, which it probably is, you have issues, but you can take the Insight quiz. It's literally 5 minutes. The premise is that your answers only provide one side of the story, though. So you do need a friend to take the other side of the story, so to speak, so you can get the whole picture. And that one is a little bit more geared towards self-awareness and perspective. And then finally, there is the self-awareness test via the INLP Center. 12 questions, 5 minutes, and it provides you a score sort of in one of four categories. Like, are you blindfolded? Are you living in a dark room? Do you have peripheral blinders on? Or are you enlightened? And it will also provide suggestions on how to overcome challenges and get you sort of to the next level or next stage. So all cool tests, all worth it. I would take them all.
All right. And we'll make sure that we get those linked in the info section of the podcast.
Look, it's impossible to better yourself or improve any aspect of your life without perspective and self-awareness. So whether it's the three-step process, whether it's learning more about yourself through the personality tests or about what not to do, you need a starting point, because otherwise you can't measure how far you've come or how far you still need to go. So that's probably why so many of us cling to distractions in our everyday life. We're staying way too busy to acknowledge our weaknesses, and we have no reason to work towards improvement. We carry on and continue to ignore our deeply rooted issues because, hey, we've gotten this far and it's not that terrible yet. So let's keep burying our head in the sand. But I would argue you should come along with Amanda and I and subscribe to this podcast and learn to gain more perspective and make some real progress as a more interesting human being.
So, PETA, sorry, my ADD kicked in a while back. Let's sum it up for me and all the other listeners who are on the struggle bus with me. What real world crap can we really take away from this podcast that actually is meaningful?
All right, write this down because I'm only going to say it once, people. For your next social interaction, I don't care where it is, just make sure you have a little time with somebody. Try to pretend that you care about other people by being intentional and asking questions. Don't be a domineering ding-dong. Don't make it about you. Start with this list of open-ended questions. How about, it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend. Got any plans?
Or maybe, let's see, have you started planning your next vacation? Where to?
Or how's business? Why did you get involved in the first place? What drives you?
My favorite thing to learn about a person, though, what passion projects are you working on right now?
Everybody will talk about that one. Do you do any volunteer work in your off time?
Or how many kids do you have? What are they up to? Every parent can relate.
Absolutely. What are you reading? That's another good one.
Or if you don't read, what are you binging right now?
And if all else fails, did you see the game last night? Right? And always steer clear of politics and religion unless you already know your audience.
It also may be good for you to have a response to the question that you're asking. Because if you were to ask, what are you reading? And they respond, oh, I'm reading Shakespeare. What are you reading? And your answer is like, oh, I don't read. Probably not the best question to lead with. So one, maybe ask questions that are within kind of your wheelhouse that you can play into a little bit more, and give them space to even learn a little bit about you. You're going to have to be vulnerable in a conversation when you're you know, trying to be relatable and make a connection.
Yeah, you have to always feel confident and be in community and learn to exist outside your comfort zone for sure. And if you don't know anything about Shakespeare, that's fine, because one of our upcoming podcasts is going to teach you just enough to make you dangerous. Hey, I got one more thing, Amanda. A little parable that I had lined up for this podcast. Stay with me here. A young man and his friend were walking along the riverbank when they stopped to gaze at some fish. "They're having so much fun," exclaimed the young man. "Well, how would you know that? You're not a fish," his friend shot back. "Yeah, well, but you're not a fish either," argued the young man. "Therefore, how would you know that I don't know that they're having fun? Remember that other people's perspective matters just as much as yours. There is no absolute truth. Everything's a matter of perspective. The same things appear completely different depending on how you perceive them."
And there you have it, dear listeners. We like to think we've shared just enough information to make you more sophisticated and either a flaming nuisance or a bit more interesting to your fellow humans. Well, sort of. If you enjoyed this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired.